That'll wake you up. Power has been restored. I love that. So here we are again. So my topic today is the principle of oneness. Would you like to receive some insight today on how to be more connected to the idea of oneness? Does anybody not want to know? I'm going to give you kind of an intellectual idea of, an intellectual idea of oneness, and also where it comes from in our heart. Because I believe that we need in our lives a balance of the intellect and the heart. Do you agree? Yeah. We can't just live from up here. We have to have that unification, that connection. So I'm going to kind of share both aspects of this topic. The definition, I always like to get a definition of a principle. We talk a lot about principle in Science of Mind. The definition of a principle is a fundamental truth that is unchangeable. It never becomes something else. It's the source or cause from which a thing results. It always works like a law. So we can pretty much bet that the principle of oneness is a law itself. Principles form a foundation for the way we engage and co-create our life. Science of Mind, which we teach here, is the study of the principle of being. Understanding the nature of reality, the infinite presence, the universal law, the nature of creation, and our place in it, and who we are in the scheme of things in life. That's a principle. The definition of oneness, probably pretty obvious. It's a state of being unified or whole, though comprised of two or more parts. Identity or harmony with someone or something is oneness. And one idea of oneness is that we are all part of the human family. Whether you believe that or not, we're one tribe. We're all part of the human family. Think about that. What if there was no us in them? What if there was no us in them racially, economically, culturally, politically, all of it? It was just a myth that we are all actually one family. And our unity with that God within us is going to help us to feel that and to experience that. So Science of Mind is built on the idea that the one is both immanent, which means within us, and transcendent, which is the great mystery of the divine beyond what we can even comprehend. Science of Mind teaches that life is a unified whole, that everything comes from it, and everything is an expression of it, of the one. So when we understand that we're unified with this thing called life and everything around us, what occurs for us is that we begin to appreciate and be grateful for what we have and who we're with. And we can begin to feel that in our heart. And then we embody a sense of oneness. We might start to treat people a little differently. You think? And this is really an important thing to remember. For us to recognize that we are not separate and we're not different from anything else in the universe. As the prayer mentioned, we're all made of the same stuff. Ernest Holmes called it the thing itself. Stuff. It's kind of a funny term, but and we all, each of us, have the ability to choose and direct our own self and to be able to live in the sense of cherishing humanity and everything around us. So this past week was the Jewish holy day of Yom Kippur, which you may know, and a friend was talking to me who's Jewish, and she told me that it was the Day of Atonement. Are you familiar with that? Yeah. When you look at the word atonement, at-one-ment, when you break it up, if you want to, atonement at-one-ment. And they have supposedly a day of reflection where they clean and release any vows that they made to God that they didn't follow through on. That's kind of a simplistic way of saying it, but that's what she told me. So it's kind of releasing the burden. And I thought, what a wise tradition. But what if we daily released are emotions or beliefs or patterns that no longer serve us, our judgments that we may be carrying that are a yoke or a burden to us that we drag along. They done me wrong. And we just drag it along. What if we had a practice where we could just let go and let God, which we say all the time? Our founder, Ernest Holmes, said, "We believe in God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, self-existent cause. This one manifests itself in and through all creation. The manifest universe is the body of God, the logical, necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God." That's in our Declaration of Principles. And most practitioners have that memorized, I think, or we try to. So the principle of oneness explains that everything in the universe, both seen and unseen, is connected to that one supreme intelligence. And throughout history, as we know, those of you that are in my history course, we've been talking a lot about this. This has been called by many names, right? Universal Spirit, God, the Soul, First Cause, Great Creative Spirit, the Divine, Source, Allah, Brahma the Creator, Jehovah, Mother Nature, and more. Countless other names. And perhaps you have one that's personal to you, to the God of your understanding. And that's what's most important, is what is your relationship to it, whatever you call it. Ernest Holmes, as I said, called it the thing itself. That's not real warm and fuzzy to me, but it could be to you. So choose your word for the divine, God, whatever, and then allow that to resonate within you. Because what happens? Then you're connected to the oneness. Right? So do you go to the well daily and get renewed? You don't have to answer that. What does that mean? It could just mean saying thank you. When you wake up, thank you for this life. Do you bless your life? Do you bless everything that shows up? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Are you minding your mind? We teach a lot of mind techniques here. It's important to notice, are you minding your mind? So after service today, I'm offering a workshop. It's called Living in Your Trinity. And it's exactly about the idea of our relationship to the oneness of our triune nature, our body, mind, and spirit, and how we can cultivate practices that support those three things to create a life of wholeness and unity and connection to our oneness. And I teach what's called the Trinity Waltz. Actually, you're not going to be dancing. Nope, not to worry. But I created that phrase, the Trinity Waltz, because it is about learning how to navigate and dance through life with body, with mind, with spirit. Being mindful in all those three areas of our life and how they support us in a holistic way. So if you're interested, stay afterwards. We have plenty of food I see back there. You can have lunch and we'll start at noon. And I'll teach you the Trinity Waltz. Do you need a partner? No. It's a single dance. Good question. So one of the greatest gifts we have, I believe, is to remember that we always have an opportunity to adjust ourselves, to readjust our being, to feel connected to the universe, to God, to whoever it is of our understanding. We always have that choice. So just imagine for a moment that you sitting here are no different than the person sitting next to you. You're no different than the trees outside. You're no different than the people down the street. The simple fact of the matter is that we are one cohesive unit that operates, and when we don't believe that, what do you think happens? We don't operate. When we operate, you've dysfunctioned. When we operate against that, we allow fear, manipulation to enter in from the outside and influence us? Does anybody? I'm sure none of you ever. I didn't think so. But then we become separated, don't we? It goes back to that us and them. When we become separated, we get distracted, don't we? And our ego kind of takes over. And bless our ego. We don't not want to have an ego. I always tell my students that. But we want to make sure it's supporting and serving us. We're not paying attention to the goodness of life when we're in that distracted state. Have you ever felt separated? Yeah, we all have. We've all been disconnected. But the power's on, right? The power's back on. We just sang about that. I really invite us. I thought about this yesterday. Instead of creating a wall between us, whoever that us and them is for you, instead of creating a wall, why not create a walkway to understanding, to be mindful of our thoughts and actions, to practice forgiveness and compassion for those people that are different from us, that believe different, that vote different, that look different, right? What if we created a walkway of understanding? Would you be willing to even consider that idea? Yeah, good. And if not, just notice that, you know, are you creating a wall? Because a wall blocks our heart, doesn't allow spirit to flow through. And we want to have that channel open of the divine. You know, last night and last month, that full moon, see that full moon last night come up? We have a deck outside, and we have to sort of look through the trees, but at some point it's very visible. And because of all the smoke, it was kind of a orange. And it was beautiful. And I always, whenever I stand out on our deck and I look at that moon, I feel this sense of awe that everybody on the planet are looking at the same moon. Everybody from Alaska to New Zealand, from a city to a meadow, from a mountaintop to the ocean, everybody's looking at the same moon. It's one moon. And when I just get chills thinking about that. Whenever I get that feeling of awe, it reminds me that, yes, we are connected. We're all seeing the same thing because there's one. Just like the sunrise, there's one sun. So awesome instead of ain't it awful, ain't it awesome. I invite you to go out and look at that moon tonight, because tonight I think it's actually the biggest. And even if you live in a city, drive somewhere and find where you can see it and look at it for a few minutes and feel that heart-to-heart connection. It will serve you well. It will open you up to being free and connecting you to everyone around us. Because I believe we all want the same thing. We all want to have peace. We all want to have love. We all want to have abundance. We all want to have fun. Maybe you don't. Sorry. I'll take a little bit of it. So we are so blessed in Science of Mind for the writings of our founder, Ernest Holmes. You know, he synthesized the teachings of the greatest thinkers and faiths that came from Buddhism, Hinduism, the Old Testament, Judaism, the New Testament, the Greeks, the Hermetic doctrines, Plotinus, Plato, the New Thought movement with Emerson, Swedenborg, Emma Curtis Hopkins, Thomas Troward, all those people. Ernest Holmes studied those all of his life. Thank God someone did. And he combined and compiled and unified all the teachings. So what we espouse here is not just some fluffy philosophy that Ernest Holmes made up. It has a basis and a foundation of truth to it. And the whole thing is about oneness. That's the cornerstone of this teaching. Ernest Holmes says, we all are unique individualizations of the same thing. We are all individualizations of the same thing, period. Think about it. It's pretty darn simple, isn't it? Yes, thank you. Ernest goes on to say that we all have the unlimited potential of God, or whatever name you want, For God in us, as us, is us. And by this awareness, we can affect our lives for the better. And as our lives change, it changes everything. You know, Reverend Maggie's talked about the story of Lord and Taylor. You all remember that. Well, one of Ernest's books, Your Invisible Power, I happen to have this very old copy. And I'm going to read you a little story that Ernest has about God and company. God, your silent partner. And again, I invite you, if the word God isn't your choice of the day, then choose a different word. This is Ernest Holmes. We are in partnership with the infinite mind. The name of this partnership is God and company. The supreme intelligence, the universal creative order, the dynamic law, and the all-perfect presence. This is God, the silent partner. We are the company. This partnership cannot be dissolved, for this union was never created. It has always been and always must remain. We are in league with the universe and this company, with which we do business. Having its center everywhere, its circumference nowhere, being omnipresent, is localized wherever thought and consciousness function. Wherever we place our attention, there the company is doing business. And wherever the company does business, there's divine activity. The activity of right ideas is the Father's business and the business of the Son. That is, the individual mind and the parent mind are one. And at whatever point we place our mental attention, at that point, the firm of God and company establishes a branch. To which it is certain to be successful. God and company has no competitors. There are no other goods so perfect as what we manufacture. There are no other patterns so attractive. There's no other machinery so noiseless, perfect, and efficient. God and company, therefore, never deals with competition, but always with completeness. Wherever our thought is, there this company establishes its branch. Each branch carries an entire stock of divine goods, and we need have no sense of monopoly on any of these goods. Think about it. What mathematician would deny anyone the privilege of using the principles the two and two make four? Or what musician would claim that the particular note he struck used all the harmony and you can't have any? For the mathematician uses the principle of mathematics, and the musician uses the principle of harmony, and a principle is that which, no matter how much it is used, is neither less nor more than it was. It always refuses to be anything except exactly that which it is. With God and company, business is always good. To know this is to know the truth about one's business and to understand what is exactly so about one's profession and to know what activity really means. Who would dissolve such a partnership as this? If we have a business which has no competitors and over which there's no monopoly, if we have a business that is always good, always active, if we have the intelligence to run this business, and if this business is really the business of living, then indeed we are successful. In actual practice, finally, he says, we must claim this divine partnership. We must claim that we are a member of the firm of God and company, that the business of life is good, active, happy, and whole. We must learn to counsel with this silent partner of ours and to accept his guidance. When we realize that our partner makes things out of itself, by itself, becoming the thing that it makes, then we shall know that no matter what undesirable facts may be in our experience now, he, God, can dissolve them for us. Thus, we transfer our burdens to the silent partner who has no burdens and no problems. Take a breath. Breathe that in. God and company. I want to be in that company. I want to join that business. So what if our oneness with the good of life is nearer than the air, closer than our breath, nearer than our hands and feet? So I'm going to share a video with you now of a piece I did with Michael Gott, and I read the words that he's going to sing through our meditation, so it'll be a little bit familiar with you. And it has this theme also, which is like the moon. So let's watch that, Nearer Than the Air.
Like the air around me, it's like the sunlight on my face. I feel the love of God surround me. I am touched by amazing. Closer than the sunlight, nearer than the air. I breathe in, and I am filled with the Spirit, and it is heaven. To my body, it is peace to my mind, it is joy, it is joy to my soul, and I breathe out a simple prayer of thank you. A song that was singing all along, that is singing everywhere. It is nearer than the air. I breathe in, and I am filled with the Spirit. Singing everywhere. It is nearer than the air. It's like the air around me. It's like the sunlight on my. I feel the love of God surround me. I am touched by amazing grace, and all I ever wanted, and all I ever needed was already there. closer than the sunlight, nearer than the
Woo! I have. Yeah, I performed it at a Solomar. But did you notice the little thing here? I did it here when before there was anything on the stage. I really like that. I just thought that was a great connection to what I'm talking about today with the oneness and that it isn't something outside of us. It's really closer than our breath. And so I'm going to close today with a mindfulness story by Thich Nhat Hanh, who's another one of my favorite teachers, a Vietnamese Buddhist monk. Called the Seed of the Holy Spirit. A year ago in Florence, a Catholic priest told me that he was interested in learning more about Buddhism. I asked him to share with me his understanding of the Holy Spirit, and he replied, "The Holy Spirit is the energy sent by God." His statement made me happy. It confirmed my feeling that the safest way to approach the Trinity is through the door of the Holy Spirit. In Buddhism, our effort is to practice mindfulness in each moment, to know what is going on within and around us. When the Buddha was asked, "Sir, what do you and your monks practice?" He replied, "We sit, we walk, and we eat." Well, the questioner continued, "But sir, everyone sits and walks and eats." And the Buddha replied, "When we sit, we know we are sitting. When we walk, we know we are walking. When we eat, we know we are eating." Most of the time, we are lost in the past or carried away by future projects or concerns, but when we are mindful, touching deeply the present moment, we can see and listen deeply, and thus the fruits of understanding, acceptance of love are always available, and they help relieve suffering and bring joy. To me, he says, mindfulness is very much like the Holy Spirit. Both are agents of healing. When you have mindfulness, you have love and understanding. You see more deeply, and you can heal the wounds in your own mind. The Buddha was called the King of Healers. In the Bible, when someone touches Christ, he or she is healed. It's not just touching a cloth that brings about a miracle. When you touch deep understanding and love, you are healed. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove, penetrating him deeply, and he revealed the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Jesus healed whatever he touched. As a healer, with the Holy Spirit in him, his power as a healer transformed many people, and all the schools of Christianity agree on this. I told the priest that I felt that all of us also have the seed of the Holy Spirit in us, the capacity of healing, transforming, and loving. And when we touch that seed, we are able to touch God. And I add, when we touch that seed, we open ourselves to the principle of oneness. And when we embody oneness, we are healed. Thank you.